Yes, go ahead. It's audio.
Okay.
Video takes up a lot more memory that we are allowed,
okay.
And audio takes up just...
So every Sunday we'll have a sermon?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Before I start the message tonight, I need to throw a couple disclaimers out there. Number one, I know Wednesday night is typically reserved for Bible study, but we're going to do a little preaching tonight. Number two, anything I say is not directed at this house of God or any member of the body unless it applies to you. So, as Brother Gary says, if I step on all 14 of your toes, it is not my intention. You might. I don't know. My purpose, I'm probably not going to normally post a Wednesday night service on the website, but tonight it's going to get posted because there's some people out in this world need to hear what I have to say. Open your Bibles to John chapter 12, please. As you turn to John chapter 12, I'll tell you, I was telling Julie before praise and worship started that I had two messages ready, and I didn't know which one to do. She said, go with the one that you chose first. Okay, here we go. So, John chapter 12, we're going to do verses 12 and 13, and then we're going to skip down and do verses 20 and 21. So, John 12, starting in verse 12. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Here we go. The next day, a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Now drop down to verse 20. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. Then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. There were many people at the feast. Just like every Sunday, there are many people that come to church. In the group of those that come to church are spectators. There are hypocrites. There are skeptics, there are doubters, and there are even scoffers. But in the midst of those people, there were and there are a few select people who come and who come for only one reason, and that is to worship God Almighty. They didn't come to spectate. They didn't come to criticize. They didn't come to impress anybody with their new Bible or their new suit. Or their new dress. They just come to worship. Is there anybody in here right now that came to worship tonight? Is there anybody here who just came to glorify God, to worship Him in spirit and in truth? These Greeks that I just read about came to worship. And they knew if they were really going to worship, they needed to see Jesus. And if we're really going to worship tonight, we need to see Jesus. They said to Philip, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Now that scripture brought a lot of conviction to my soul that we as the church, as a whole, myself included, have failed to a large degree to present to the world the Jesus of the Bible. We have preached organizations. We have preached denominations. We've preached religion. We've preached traditions, rules, and regulations. We have preached God's blessing plan. We've preached 8 steps to a breakthrough. We've preached 7 keys to your miracle. Here's my concern, that we have preached the Bible so well, but we failed to preach Jesus. Somehow Jesus has gotten covered up by our dogmas and our creeds, and we've gotten so enamored with the privileges and the blessings of being a child of God that we have forgotten or at least misplaced the Jesus of the Bible. There is today, as there was in the days of the Bible, a cry from the human heart, and that cry is, we want to see Jesus. I love this church. I love everybody in this church. I believe in the doctrines and the teachings of this church. I believe in the godly traditions and the godly practices of this church. But we must never forget that the head of the church is a living person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's not religion or traditions or doctrines that saves the lost or heals the sick or sets the captives free. No. It is the living Savior, the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. He is the baptizer in the mighty Holy Spirit and power. I believe it's a crying shame that so many in the body of Christ have lost sight of Jesus. But even worse than that is the fact that many don't even realize they've lost that vision. And even worse yet is that many have allowed other things to displace that vision, and now they would rather have religion than Jesus. They would rather have traditions than Jesus. They would rather have blessings than Jesus. It's amazing how many people want an abundant life, but they don't want Jesus. They want healing, but they don't want Jesus. They want power, but they don't want Jesus. They want joy and they want peace, but they don't want Jesus. Here's my prediction. We will see a great revival in the body of Christ when the cry of the heart of the church is, we want to see Jesus. When the church can no longer be satisfied or pacified with anything less than a fresh vision of and the manifest presence of Jesus, there will be a mighty revival in this land. Around the world today, churches are shutting down and locking their doors. Organizations are dying. People are leaving the churches and going into stuff called New Age or occult practices and sinful lifestyles. Why? I believe to a large degree, it's because we as the church and we as ministers of the gospel have failed to present Jesus to them. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 32, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." He didn't say lift up your church or your denomination or your organization or your doctrine. He didn't say lift up your religion or lift up your traditions or lift up your philosophies. He said, if I am lifted up. That's his way of saying, talk about me, witness about me, preach about me, teach about me. Let me live in your testimony. Let me live in your preaching, in your singing. Let me be the main attraction. Amen. Let me be the reason for your gathering together, then I will draw all people to me, and your churches won't die, but they'll come alive with resurrection power, and your churches won't empty out, but they'll fill up with the hungry and the thirsty, the broken, the hurting, and the needy people. We would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. We need to see Jesus. We demand to see Jesus. And we won't settle for anything less than a personal contact with Jesus Christ our Savior. Don't just tell me about Him. Don't just show me pictures of Him. Take me to Him. Preacher, take me to Jesus. Pastor, take me to Jesus. Evangelist, take me to Jesus. Christian friend, take me to Jesus. Church, if we can't take a soul who is lost to Jesus, we have failed in our mission. If we can't take the bound and the oppressed, the sick, the diseased to Jesus, we have failed in our mission. As I prepared this, I came under great conviction that I have failed. And we have failed in our mission to get people to Jesus. I believe now that I see my mission with new eyes. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 2 and 2, I'm going to write these down. I got a lot of scripture I'm going to quote tonight. 1 Corinthians 2 and 2, this is what Paul said. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, Paul was a very, very educated man. He was deeply spiritual, but with all his wisdom and all his knowledge and all his spiritual experience, he determined to hold himself to the preaching of Christ. He determined that he would hold himself to preaching the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and Jesus coming to rule and reign in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all he taught. Romans 1, verses 16 through 17. Paul said the following, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, they shall live." The just, that is, shall live by faith. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, the word salvation in Greek is the word sozo. This word, sozo, salvation in English, is all-inclusive, which means it is healing for the body, it is deliverance to the bound, it includes peace, prosperity, and wholeness. We don't need the gospel just to get saved by. We need the gospel to live by every day of our lives. All I ever hear is, well, what's the gospel? What's the gospel? Here it is. The gospel is the life that Jesus lived, the death he died, his victory over Satan's kingdom, and his resurrection and ascension to the right hand of God. And then his coming back to reign through us via the power of the Holy Spirit in everyone who believes on him. There's the gospel. No place in the Bible do we find the life of Jesus more fully revealed than in the four gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We must present to the world and to the church the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of mercy. The Jesus of compassion, who casts out devils, who heals the sick, cleanses the lepers, raises the dead, works miracles, signs, and wonders. In many of our churches today, we are told that there are no such things as demons. There's no such things as devils. We're told that miracles and signs and wonders were just for the early church, and they're no longer needed today, and they're just not for us. But the devil is a liar. Amen. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Acts 10 and 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. And then the second half of the following verse, verse 18, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Don't try to tell me that tongues passed away or they are not for today. Jesus said his believers would speak with new tongues. This is the Jesus of the Bible. And this Jesus of the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When the sinner sees Jesus dying on the cross for their sins, and the sinner accepts Jesus as their sin substitute, they will be saved. When the sick or the afflicted see him at the whipping post, taking those 39 stripes for their healing and deliverance, and they recognize that Jesus suffered in their place, and that he took their sicknesses and diseases, and he carried their sorrows, and they accept that by faith, they will be healed. When the believer sees Jesus raised from the dead, having put their sins away and coming to live in them through the power of the Holy Spirit, then they will enter into the blessings and the benefits of the Christian life that were purchased for them through the finished work of Jesus Christ. I believe in church doctrine that is based on and stands on the Word of God. I believe in divine healing. I believe in prosperity. I believe in the church as a divine institution ordained by God Himself. But our primary mission and our primary commission is to preach Jesus, to lift up Jesus. Did you know that if you take Jesus out of the Bible, there is no good news? The gospel means good news. But if we take Jesus out of our preaching, there's no good news either. Without Jesus in our singing, our preaching, our teaching, there is no gospel. The world is dying to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me take it a step farther. As T.D. Jakes says, can we go a little deeper? Many in the church today are dying to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus. Why is there such a lack of power in many of our churches? Why is there so much sickness in many of our churches? Why is there so much oppression and depression in many of our churches? Why is there such a lack of the manifest presence and power of God in so many individual lives? I believe it's because we've lost our vision of Jesus. We don't see Jesus as we should. We see him through a fog, through a mist or a veil that in many cases religion has spread over our eyes. Like Paul, many of God's people today have scales on their eyes and they cannot see Jesus. How can we see him again? We must hear the Bible preached again in the way that sets Jesus forth as the center of attraction. Jesus the Savior. Jesus the healer. Jesus the deliverer. Jesus the miracle worker. Jesus the friend of sinners. Jesus the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Jesus the great intercessor. Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Jesus, the apostle and high priest. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is wonderful. The great counselor, the prince of peace, mighty God. He is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the day star from on high, the bread of life. He is sanctifier and he is justifier. He is our shelter in the time of a storm. He is our shield and our buckler. He is our fortress and our high tower. He's our rock. He's our anchor. He's our lion and he is our lamb. One songwriter put it like this: he is my everything, he is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. His name is Jesus. We have the answer to every problem in the world or in the church. And his answer, his name is Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? The human heart is crying out, we want to see Jesus. Who is going to take the blind sinner by the hand and lead them to Jesus, the Savior? Who's going to take the sick, the suffering, the bound, the oppressed, and lead them to Jesus, the healer, Jesus, the deliverer, Jesus, the miracle worker? It's those who have seen Jesus. Those who live with the revelation of Jesus before their very face. Now, Jesus asked a question of his disciples. He asked many questions, but one in particular he asked was, who do people say I am? The disciples began to tell Jesus what they had heard others say about him. But Jesus would not and Jesus will not settle for secondhand information. He requires that we know him by personal revelation. So he pressed his disciples a little bit. He said, who do you say that I am? We cannot build our lives on secondhand information. When Jesus asked, who do you say I am? Peter answered, you know, he was always the first to talk. Yep, 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 yep. Peter answered, said, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Amen. Peter was blessed because he had a revelation of Jesus. Now, in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, we learn about how the children of Israel had murmured against God, and poisonous serpents came into their midst and bit them, and many of them died. Then they cried out for mercy, and God told Moses to make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole and lift it up in the midst of the people. And everyone that looked upon the serpent on the pole was healed and lived. That brass serpent on the pole was symbolic of Jesus dying on the cross, suffering for our sins and our sicknesses under the judgment of God. Everyone that was bitten, that lifted up their eyes and looked upon that serpent, were healed. That was just a type and shadow of our mighty Savior Jesus saving us and healing us and destroying the works of the devil. When we lift up our eyes and get a revelation of Jesus, we can be healed. We can be delivered. We can receive everything Jesus accomplished through his life, his death, his burial, and resurrection, and his living and reigning in us by his Spirit. Three sentences I'd like y'all to repeat after me. We want to see Jesus.
We must see Jesus.
We will see Jesus. Give God some great praise and glory in the house tonight. Again, not directed to anybody that attends here or is here, okay? Unless you needed to hear it. So, does anybody have, I like to do praise reports on Wednesday night. I don't know why, but Janelle?